Thank you, Callie. You can see him after the meeting. And we're also going to be taking a seventh tradition in just a few minutes. And while we're doing the seventh tradition, I've asked Miranda if she would read a vision for NA service. Miranda, do you want to come up and do that? Yeah, now is good.
Hi, I'm Miranda, and I'm an addict. A vision for NA service. All of the efforts of Narcotics Anonymous are inspired by the primary purpose of our groups. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict in the world has the chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture, and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member inspired by the gift of recovery experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. NA services service bodies worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups in carrying our message of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thanks, Miranda. I'm just going to take a minute to introduce our speaker. Val is part of what I like to call the class of 92. After you've been to a lot of countdowns, you start to know who cleaned up the same year as you, so I've noticed over the years that Val and me are always standing up for the same year, and we've been doing that since 92. And Val got clean in Nanaimo and started doing her service work there. She's done service work for Narcotics Anonymous continuously through her recovery, and a lot of that has been at the regional level. I'll mention she's done service work right across Canada now, starting in Nanaimo, coming to New Westminster, traveling out to Ontario, and then coming back to Nanaimo. In BC, a lot of her service work has been at the regional level. She's represented us here in the British Columbia Fellowship at three World Service Conferences. She's also been part of literature development at the world level, and worked on the public relations handbook that we have now. When Val was in Ontario, she worked at Region there, and now that she's back in BC, we have her back at BC Region, where she's currently the co-facilitator for BC Region. And Val clearly has a lot of passion for service, and we're gonna hear about that now. Let's welcome Val.
I'm an addict. My name is Val. I'm really grateful to be clean. Really grateful to be alive. And a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Truly grateful. It's pretty cool to be here, gotta say. Passion for service, that's a pretty awesome topic. And I'm really glad, the turnout is amazing. Right? It's amazing. It inspires me to see so many people show up, you know, curious about service work, Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't know, I spent a day in workshops here, you know, connecting with people, sitting in workshops, listening to my predecessors share. Listening to people who inspired me and mentored me when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. For a lot of years, you know, listening to Louise share, listening to Gail share, Wendy. My heart is full, you know. I learned a lot from these people. And like a good drug addict, I'm always watching, you know, scoping things out. You ever do that? Watching what's going on, you know? And so I was talking to Dave because, you know, you know, kind of what's going on, like what's going on in my mind about sharing. And I was really, the last couple days have been, they've been heartfelt thoughts and memories about my time in Narcotics Anonymous. And you know, I love the t-shirt. I mean, well, not that it's my style, but the logo, I like the logo. Looks to me like a heartbeat, you know? And that's passion, right? Like that's like live. Like, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is life-changing, right? The life-saving message, the heartbeat. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I felt that, you know, I'm like in a room with a lot of heartbeats here, sitting here, you know what I mean? And all day, I'm feeling very much alive, and I've been thinking about my time in Narcotics Anonymous, and I've seen that poem once. It says, everything I learned about life, I learned in kindergarten. Well, everything I learned about living, I learned in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, how to be a human being. You know, that question in the Step 10 path that says, you know, do you feel a part of the human race today? That question, I feel a part of the human race today. I feel very connected to all the heartbeats in this room. And I have, you know, I have different history with a lot of people. Like I hung out in dinner, not because I'm a fan of lasagna, but because I just wanted to connect with people and just, you know, kind of rekindle those memories and make new ones. And because there's people here that taught me that. They say you got to keep meeting new people and building relationships in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because we never know what's going to happen, right? And there's some history that I have here, people, you know, that goes back like, you know, 20 years. And I was thinking about that the last couple of days. Like I was thinking about, you know, when I got here having the self-esteem of a gerbil, you know? And I remember sitting at a regional, you were talking about this, sitting at a regional service committee meeting. I don't know, they didn't have no heat on in the room. The women were not impressed. Every 5 minutes, close the door, close the door. I was at that meeting. And I remember, because I had about 3 years clean, and I remember I lost my medallion. I was like, oh, where's my medallion? I was panicking. I'm like, where's my medallion? And I remember Louise going, oh, I found this medallion here. Anybody, you know, I didn't want to say, oh, it's mine, right? But I, you know, I didn't want to give it up. So, you know, just so insecure, right? So insecure, no voice, anxious, not feeling good about myself, right? When I got here, but really, really wanting to be part of, you know? I wanted to be able to connect with other people. I wanted to speak the same language that you did. I wanted very much to belong, right? You know, I come from a family riddled with active addiction, and the only person in my whole family that doesn't have a drug problem is my cousin Jan Jan. She's adopted. You know what I'm saying? So, that's right. Do the math. Do the math. So, like, you people I've adopted as my family. You know, there's my mom and dad over there, right? Louise and Dave, my mom and dad. Gail's like my auntie, or my older sister for sure. Hell of a lot nicer older sister than the one I got, you know. And, you know, I got some brothers here, you know, stuff like that. Right, Reg? You could be like my brother. And I learned to build a family here and start getting involved with what was happening in Narcotics Anonymous. And service was a really good way to do that. And when I got here, like I'm sure most of you can relate, like all I had was the baggage that I came. You know what I mean? And anyway, slice it, active addiction ain't pretty. I don't know where you come from, but active addiction ain't pretty. So the beliefs and the values and the attitude that I had when I came here, I had a shitty attitude and a bad habit when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, there's no way I would let you know that, right? And I remember my very first service position. What I want to say before I forget, because, you know, sometimes with me, my mind goes and then, you know, I lose them. What I want to say is that service work is not a title. It's not a title. I mean, I've done some positions, everyone else, you know what I mean? But it's not a title, it's an attitude, it's a spirit of service. And I've learned that. I didn't know that when I got here. I remember my very first meeting, service commitment was at my home group, Wednesday night in Nanaimo, Central Vancouver Island area. And I was a secretary, and I was so pissed off I had to make the coffee. And you people drank way too much coffee before the meeting started, so I had to put another pot on. I was very pissed off about that. But you know what? I got a one-year cake at that meeting. And like that was a very big deal, you know? I remember that meeting Wednesday night, and I was like, wow, like, you know, I felt like, that maybe, just maybe, I could start to become the person that I was always meant to be. You know, my kids were real little. They were like 4 and 2 when I got clean. And I bring them to meetings, you know. I would just bring them to meetings because I'm pretty sure it was, well, not pretty sure. I know for a fact that it was those two kids, you know, that I had in the car, you know, getting them in the car with the flannel pajamas to go score. And, you know what I mean? Didn't matter. Pouring rain. It was pouring rain like this on a Friday night. And I didn't have no problem doing that. So I really appreciate when there's kids around, there's little dogs, you know, cruising around. Because we need to do this together, right? I mean, and that's why I started to feel the passion Narcotics Anonymous was to start making this my job, you know? And I don't know if it, I don't think it's just men, but I hear it a lot with single guys and people who get clean. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I gotta go off and get a job, you know, I gotta get a job, right? I'm like, I don't know, the biggest job I've ever had was learn how to live clean. The biggest job I've ever known, right? I mean, I had a career when I got here, you know, I'm a crisp little nursing uniform. Wired, you know, that's a good look. And, you know, but to truly, truly start to feel like I want to be a part of this, right? Make this my job. And so I started doing Service Narcotics Anonymous and doing more of it. And, you know, people talked about it all day long, you know. Every person who I aspired to be and that, mean a lot to me that I watch in our colleagues. We all talked about that, you know, ego, being ego-driven. And, well, I'd be so full of shit if I said I wasn't when I got here because I'm like, don't you know who I think I am, you know? I am a secretary, don't you know, of my home group. I'm a big deal, all right? So, but you know what? What I want to say is just keep coming back, right? Because everything's subject to revision, right? Everything is subject to revision, especially what we know about the truth. And it says that in our basic text. And so, you know, nobody said, you know, Val, you can't be here or we don't want you to be part of. They're just like, keep coming back, right? Keep coming back and get involved in this. And, you know, my attitude started to change. And I thought about the last couple of days. I thought about the people that, you know, I asked for a lot of help when I first got here. And you know, getting in conflict with others because you wouldn't know it now, but because I have lots to say now, but when I first came clean, like I could barely choke out my name. I'm Val, I'm an addict. And I'd be like crying for the hour and the meeting was over, you know. But I wanted to learn how to do different. I wanted to learn how to apply these spiritual principles in my life because I didn't want to be the person I was when I got here because I really truly hated my own guts. And so I started asking questions and I remember, you know, I saw Wendy share today, and that was my very first subcommittee. I remember H&I, Maple Ridge, I went there, and Wendy was there, Terrence was there, and, you know, I was like, wow, this is cool, you know. I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying giving back, and but the fact is I didn't know how to communicate with others, you know what I mean? Like, addiction, this is a disease of isolation. It's a disease of negativity. It's a disease of self-centeredness, right? And so I didn't know how to connect. I didn't know how to relate to other people. And so I would sit in committee meetings and, you know, get all stirred up and, you know, and at the end of the meeting, I'd be like, you know, all up in someone's grill about what they were saying or what I didn't like. And I remember, you know, talking to Gail. I would phone her sometimes. I would phone Marina. But I remember calling Gail up and Michael answered the phone. And we had a long talk about H&I. And he's the very first person that taught me that, you know, in tradition 2, it talks about spiritual principles are never in conflict. Spiritual principles are never in conflict. And you can't fight with integrity, you know? And so if I continued to do the right thing for the right reason, then it was going to be okay. I was going to be okay. It was going to be okay. And guess what? Narcotics Anonymous will go on without me, with or without me, right? I needed to learn that because, you know, like it says in our basic text, you know, being an egomaniac with inferiority complex, you know, I needed to learn about that. That was some really good lessons for me, you know. And so because I had a chip on my shoulder, you know, like I still had this bad attitude, you know, like full of resentment, full of bitterness. my whole life. Like, I had hate in my heart, you know, and I'm still pissed off that I didn't get my pony, okay? I had work to do. I had some step work to do. So I needed to be taught. And I got to the point, and I hope that you do too, I got to the point where I didn't get tripped up about asking for help. I didn't get tripped up about not knowing. And I remember saying to some, you know, somebody said to me, they said, Val, if you couldn't read, or if somebody said to you, you know, I can't read or write, would you be like, well, you're stupid? Like, no, you haven't been taught yet. I needed to be taught. I needed to learn how to live and enjoy life without the use of drugs, you know? Because I've been using since I was 9 years old. I showed up here when I was 29. Bad attitude, you know, no uterus, thinking my life was over. So I needed to learn how to live, how to be with people, how to listen. I took that shit serious, okay? Because I thought I was damaged goods, all right, you know? Walking around with no cage, I thought I was damaged goods. So, I mean, even though you couldn't see that, I knew, okay? I knew. So, it's interesting because the longer I stay clean, the more I got involved with service. And I mean, I was, you know, talking to Dave earlier about, like, there's a lot of history, you know? Like, it blows my mind when I think about all the events, you know, like you talked about, you know, like all the events. Like, I don't know how many service committees I've sat with Ivy and, you know, my sponsee Mary and I, like, we've driven to a lot of regionals together, and that's a lot of pop and a lot of bags of chips, okay? Because that was the thing. We're going to region, get the pop, you know, get set, and, you know, off we go. Because back then, we would go through we would drive to, you know, the Kootenays on a Friday night, ready for the 0800 meeting, you know what I mean? It didn't occur to me I should take the day off on the Friday, you know, I wasn't quite that sharp. And so you learn to build history, and, you know, I can't even imagine how many, I just picture Louise and I, you know, picking me up. I come to New West from, you know, take the ferry over from Nanaimo and come to New West and pick me up and take me to the regional meeting, you know what I mean? Like, those things are implanted in my heart, like, forever, you know? What that meant for me when people, they put energy into me, right? And I got to say, you don't ever want to be in a position where people stop rallying around you. You don't ever want to be, you know, isolated to such a degree that people stop rallying around you, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's overwhelming for me because I know a lot of people. Well, that's like a Cadillac problem, isn't it? You know, oh, I know too many people, you know, whoa, right? Let's just wallow in self-pity about that. What it is, you know, it's like a beautiful thing to be able to show up at any meeting and just know somebody. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we met this function, you know what I mean? It's pretty cool. And, you know, in my time, I've had the privilege. And really, like I said, again, I want to repeat, service is not a title. But as a result of doing service and gaining some passion about being here and learning about Narcotics Anonymous, learning about the history, you know, I got to a point where I just didn't want to do time here, you know, like I've done time my whole life, like walking through, you know, like life through mediocrity, like just kind of sort of half awake, you know what I mean? I was done with that. I wanted to start feeling alive. And I did that when I got clean, you know, get clean, live clean, you know, stay clean, start feeling alive, start, you know, engaging my environment. Like I do that, you know, and what I've come to understand and what I've come to know is that I can be, as a result of the steps, as a result of doing service in Narcotics Anonymous, I can be the same person I am everywhere I go. I'm the same person here as I am at work, as I am in the lineup at the bank. You know what I'm saying? I don't got to keep track. Did I say that? Was, you know, who was I, right? I can be the exact same person. And I heard it said before, earlier today, and I firmly believe it's a belief that I hold, is that there's a big difference between having service-based recovery and recovery-based service. You know, I've sat in various committee meetings, and, you know, good on you if you can recite all the concepts and the traditions and the steps. Like, that's great. That's awesome, you know. But recovery is not an intellectual exercise. Recovery is a heartfelt decision. It's heartfelt. I mean, it's nice to be book read. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I was up till 1:30 doing homework last night. I mean, you know, it's good to be book read. But it's about the practical application, right? And that's where, as a result of, you know, sticking in the middle, being a part of, I've had the opportunity to understand about the service structure, you know, committees. And, you know, it's pretty cool that we have a worldwide fellowship. You know, I was sitting with Reg at dinner, and he's like, I'm going to Ireland. Going to go visit Connor. I'm like, oh, my God, I know Connor. He's the RD in Ireland. I met Connor. Like, where does that happen? Random. Whoa. You know. But it's because the truth is the longer you stick around here, the smaller it becomes because it becomes a family. You know what I mean? You get connected. Oh, yeah, I know so-and-so because you sponsored so-and-so. You know what I mean? Which is pretty amazing, right? And, you know, when I went to the World Service Conference, like, people know me, like, you know, I like to talk, okay? And, but when I was there, I was like, I was out of words, okay? I went there and I got to have a tour of the World Service office, and I went there and I saw there's that door. It's like, oh, that door, what's behind that door? Well, that was the archives of Jimmy Kay, right? The founder of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was just like, wow, you know, and I spent days, I could barely just cry. I could just cry, you know what I mean? Like, there was people around, and they always knew we were from Canada, because like, oh, you're from Canada, eh? You know? I guess we talk like that somehow. But, you know, and then you got the Japanese delegate, Jay, because he's there every, and it's just unbelievable, right? And, you know, what I got to understand, because I'm an entitled dope fiend, all right? Entitlement, you know what I'm saying? Still bitching about the pony I didn't get, something I didn't get my share, you know what I mean? Growing up. But when I got there and I got to find out that, you know, how privileged we are in Narcotics Anonymous, like, you know, like this function here, like, is it, you know, how many areas have put this together, right? And it cost funds, you know what I mean? And they put the basket around. Well, I was sitting beside the delegate, and she was talking to me about how they have, you know, they have their Narcotics Anonymous meetings in bomb shelters. I was like, wow, you know what I mean? In bomb shelters. And they were talking about that, you know, certain countries, they have to get the Narcotics Anonymous literature, like, mailed underground because it's still against the law, right? I'm entitled. I go to the meeting on Friday night. I expect the literature to be there. I expect the meeting to be open, you know? Like, I still take that for granted, and I still got to shake my head, you know, and grab onto some gratitude because I'm not always grateful. This disease I have is pretty entitled, and I can be entitled, and I can expect things, and, you know, just ask my husband. I can get like that. And, like, I expect the coffee. I like he makes me the coffee, you know. So what I'm saying is that I've had to learn to do, right? I've had to learn to do different. I've had to learn by watching other people, my predecessors. And, I mean, I spent the day, and I just was blown away. Like, I was sitting in the workshops, and I just felt that in my heart about how many people who have took the time and energy to teach me. Now, I know I'm sitting in a room, like, clearly if you're here, you get it. I mean, that's why you're here on this night, right? It's because, you know, you saw the topic. There's a workshop. So people are going to learn about Narcotics Anonymous, you know, passion. And you know that your people are going to be here, right? Like, you guys are my people, right? And so I know I'm preaching the converted. I know you're here because you've already bought in, right? And that feels really good, you know, because I can't do this alone. I mean, this disease that I have used to tell me all the time that, you know, it was me against the world and, you know, I don't need other people. And that's so the opposite about what I'm taught. You know, I was thinking about how easy it is just to pick up the phone and go, you know, like, what are you doing today? Can, you know, let's hang out. Oh, yeah, going to the committee on the weekend. That's great. You know, can I catch a ride? You know, I was thinking about the times of my life when it's been difficult. You know, because newsflash, life will drive up with your load or not. It just does. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not that easy. And I remember sitting, I mean, I was thinking about my time in Narcotics Anonymous doing service. I remember chairing the region and, you know, I was on treatment for my liver and I wasn't feeling, you know, top of my game, that's for sure. I wasn't styling. But you people carried me through that. The people at that table carried me through that. I remember I remember sitting at a Canadian Assembly meeting in Toronto going, oh, shit, what am I doing here? You know, my marriage was just ended. I didn't know if, you know, my job was over. I didn't know what was going to happen next. I was there for the week, and I was feeling vulnerable, you know, like feeling like I was walking around with no clothes on. I don't know if you can relate, like just thinking people, you know, people know, they can see I'm not quite right, you know what I mean? And then I've come to understand that, like, who do I have to impress but a room full of drug addicts? No offense, but, you know. Really, it is laughable, come on, you know what I mean? Oh, I can't tell you what's really going on, you know. Pretty sure we're all in the same group. But I remember going through that, and it was people here that carried me. And that just, I mean, when you think about passion, I mean, my God, like, how can you not get passionate about a program that's life-changing, you know? The life-saving message in Narcotics Anonymous. Wow, right? And there's been times where I picked up the phone, and just because I needed to be with people and just to connect, and because that's really what it's all about. And I remember one time calling the door, and David answered the phone. He's like, oh, are you coming to Montreal? Oh, that sounds okay. Let's do it, right? Sarah's chairing a convention, you know, and then we're all speaking, and we're all, you know, well, we're all overdosing on Montreal smoked beef. I mean, true story. Just loving it, you know. And then Sarah and I go off on a convention. I mean, that's really how it goes, is that being in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous and doing service. Like, sometimes I feel like I have to apologize that I've never strayed. But the truth is I've never strayed from Narcotics Anonymous. I've never felt the need or, you know, hanging on to resentment or somebody pissed me off enough that I need to go somewhere else to get recovery. Because what I've come to learn is anything that I have going on in my life can be addressed with 12 Steps Narcotics Anonymous. Anything, any issue that I have. And that I just need to continue to show up here, right? And I've done that. I've never strayed. I've never stopped doing service or, you know, like all of a sudden I'm going to like take a drug holiday or something, you know, I'm going to go off somewhere else. I've never felt the need to go to the other program. I've always stayed here because this is where my heart is. This is where the passion is. This is where I started getting a life. You know, you people nursed me back to health, right? And I'm starting to get, you know, living by, you know, this idea of the values that I long lost, you know. I no longer have to stand up for non-existent values, and it says that in the basic text. And I started to stand up for what I believe in. Because I've come to understand that if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And I started to believe in this. And the power of the we and the people. And it is all about people. I mean, you know, we got amazing literature, don't get me wrong. And I'm a fanatic. Like, I mean, I got the bookshelf covered, okay? I get very excited about the literature. But when it comes right down to it, and I had a friend say that there's going to come a time in your recovery where the only thing between you and your drug of choice is the God of your understanding. You better be on speaking terms. So you people, I need to be connected with. You know what I mean? Somebody was talking earlier about, like, how do you know if you're in your ego? You know, delusion, you know, masters of self-deception, right? I don't always know. The truth is, and that's why I need other people. And talks about, you know, you people can be my ears and eyes. Because I don't always see the train coming. I might be in a whole different topic or, you know, distracted about something. And you people can say, Val, the train's coming, pay attention, right? And so for me, it's important that I keep my life up for review. Always, still. Clean time. Don't get me wrong, I love having clean time, but clean time does not equal recovery. Social acceptability does not equal recovery. I got a nice job, I got a nice ride, but that's not going to keep me clean. That's my experience. I've lost people who've strayed. That's not going to keep me clean. It's the people, Narcotics Anonymous, that's, you know, the heartbeats. Like I was watching people, you know, earlier today, watching new people come in and chatting people up in the bathroom. Yeah, that's a good place to talk, really. And finding out about each other, you know what I mean? Like, where else can I go where I come from, the stuff that I was ashamed about, the stuff that I wouldn't, you know, I was willing to take my grave about, that I can share with other people? And it's like, you understand that, you know, we speak the same language. I think about my time here, and I thought about, you know, like, there's so many other people who could be sitting up here tonight talking about passion in service work. People that I admire, that I've come to love and care about deeply. And the only reason I happen to be here is because somebody asked me, and I said yes, because what I've been taught is that, you know, do not say no to a request to do service Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I've been taught. And my first inclination is yes, and then, oh, shit, what I just did. You know what I mean? Someone said that to me the other day, oh, shit, what I just did, right? Because that's what I've been taught, because I'm a self-centered drug addict. And my inclination is to not. My inclination is to crawl inside my own brain, not share with other people, isolate, be separate then, separate from. But service is, you know, it's forced. Because when you're sitting in a committee with other people, and you got to communicate with others, and you got to connect, and you got to get, you know, you got to get yourself to the committee with them, and you got to, you know, get back. That's how Bill builds some relationships here. And like, I would just wish that on anybody. I would wish for you that you stick around long enough to build relationships that have they're like family that I never had. Family I never had. I mean, people here know more about me than my own family, right? I talked to my sister the other day. I didn't have anything to say. Oh, hi, bye, that's it. That's about it. You know what I mean? And when I come into a room like this, it's pretty phenomenal, really. So this idea of Passion Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it is a privilege to be here. It is a privilege to participate in Service Narcotics Anonymous. And I might be a bit of a freak because I like policy. I like policy. I like to be part of that. I mean, I think, you know, 11 years doing policy in Narcotics Anonymous because I like, that's, you know, people talk about it today, like find your area, right? Like, I couldn't do conventions either. It's not my thing. I'm not that much fun, really. I'm not real good at selling a T-shirt, you know. I'm just not. Plus, I like to be in the action. People do conventions. They don't even get to go to the convention. You know what I mean? But so what fits for me may not fit for you. But, I mean, the service, again, it's not a position. It's not, oh, I'm the RD or I'm the secretary. It's, you know what, I show up and participate. Like, everyone here in this room sitting in a chair is being of service. And service is an attitude. Being selfless, giving a shit about the person next to you who wants to stay clean, that's being of service, you know what I mean? And we do a really good job of that here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was watching people loving on each other. Just amazing, you know, just amazing. And I get that in meetings all over. Like, I went to a meeting the other day and I just saw people loving on someone who's just taken 1 year, just new. And then you watch other people get clean time, like amazing years, and you go, wow, like, I wanted that. That's something I've been looking for my whole life. So when I thought about coming here today and going, you know, like, okay, I'm going to share about passion and service and why me, there's people here that have taught me about myself, taught me about spiritual principles, taught me about the steps, taught me about traditions, taught me about the concepts, working together. There's been times, I mean, you know, if I take my inventory, there's times where I've come here totally self-seeking motives, for sure. You know, I've come to meetings because I need to be there, because I need to connect with other people. There's times where I came because I wanted to give. There's times where I want to come because I want to receive. But I think the point is, and I heard that earlier today, is that to keep showing up. To keep showing up no matter what. And I think if that's one of the messages that I want to give to people, I mean, there's a lot of new people here. How many people here at their very first service workshop? How many people here? Hands up. Wow, this is amazing, right? Well, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? And so the cool thing is we're going to keep coming in next year. We're going to see you, and your guys are going to be the ones coming up here, right? You're going to be the ones standing at the mic and being Ivy. You know what I mean? Like when I hear about that, it's the newcomer that made these posters here today. I was just like, wow. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, right? I don't want to be the person I was before I got here. You know, a heart full of hate and full of resentment and bitterness. I mean, that was ugly. And that's how I lived, you know, full of anger and hate and resentment. And I don't have that. I mean, I don't have a heart full of hate today, you know. The passion, it's an interesting topic, passion. There's a big difference between obsession and passion. Don't make no mistake, there's a big difference. Because obsession, shit can get ugly, okay? But passion, it just keeps growing. You know, the more I do, the better I feel. The more I do, the better I feel. And why wouldn't I want more of that? I mean, I'm a good drug addict. More is better, right? More and more and more. But of the good stuff, because here's the thing, is that as a drug addict, I'm highly influenced. I'm an influenced individual. You know, offer me a Red Bull, I'm off in five. Okay, good. You know, I don't even think twice. Highly influenced drug addict, right? But the beautiful thing is that I can be influenced in a negative way, or I can be influenced in a positive way. It's a choice. It's a choice I make in any given day, right? What am I going to put my energy into? I'm going to put my energy into this, right? And new people. Life-saving message. Why would I ever want to go anywhere else, right? On a rainy Saturday night. You know what I mean? I've watched people, like, that's a beautiful thing. Passion is watching other people change and grow. Like, for instance, this young boy, Noah, over here, comes up to me the other day, rolls up to me, you know my parents. I'm like, Noah, wow, that's you. Because he wasn't in that state the last time I saw him, you know? And, well, we didn't have much to talk about then, but the thing is now, it's like, how amazing watching people, right? And go, you know, I know your parents, and they're invested here, and they're so happy to see you clean, right? Like, that's the stuff. Like, you can have the coldest, you can have the biggest cage around your heart and still feel that, you know what I'm saying? Watching people change and grow. I mean, that's what blows my hair back, right? Is coming back to another meeting or another service function and watching people get another year clean. There's little babies around here. People are getting lives. I never had that before. And that's connection. Like, if you look around, and if we took some time, my guess is, in some way or another, we're connected to every single person in this room. Somehow, some way. And if not now, today, next week, next month, next year. Right? Whether they're part of your home group, they're part of your sponsorship family, you sit on the same service committee meeting together, we're connected. How could you not have passion about that? Right? Watching people come back after, you know, being out, welcome home. Right? It's amazing. People roll up to me and they say hello, and I love that. You know, I love when people take the time to do that. And I mean it. Like, don't ever want to be in the position where people stop putting energy into you, right? I don't want to be on the outside looking. I mean, I made a comment the other day at the meeting, and I don't want to offend anybody. What I'm saying is that, you know, you don't want to be on the outside looking in, right? I didn't like that. It was a lonely place to be. I like to be, in the center. I like to be sitting at the dinner table, not treating narcotics almost like a drive-by, sitting at the dinner table. And granted, there's been times where I've done it totally ego-motivated because, you know, I thought that was important. I want to be all self-important. It's changed. Somehow through the steps and the traditions, it's changed. Like, I'm humbled by the fact that I simply get to fill a chair and be part of, you know? Like, how amazing is that? I got family here that I couldn't dream possible, you know? That I met here. I met my husband here. You know. So, you know, we throw a lot of phrases around here, Narcotics Anonymous, like don't, you know, but I want to say, like, this idea about don't walk away 5 minutes before the miracle happens. Because it does. It does. There's been times, I mean, when I told you about sitting in that Canadian Assembly meeting, sitting in Toronto in a meeting going, what am I doing here? I don't know what's going on with my life. I had no idea. But if I walked away, I would have missed out. I would have short-circuited my life, and I wouldn't even have known what was possible. Because amazing miracles happen, Narcotics Anonymous, beyond, right? Beyond. I'm not the person I was when I got here. You know, that person that had the self-esteem of a gerbil, right? Now, I have an opinion. I don't mind sharing it, you know. Give me a mic. I'll share my opinion. Because I have a voice today, and I learned it here. And anyone can have that. Like, you all have voices. You all came here. You showed up, put your money in the basket. You sat. You filled up a chair. There's a lot of people here who, you know, who are making all this happen. Because you can't do, I mean, that's the we, right? I can't do this alone. I need other people. And if I haven't introduced myself to you today, you know, make sure I do that later on. Come up and say hi and let me know what your name is, because, you know, we're going to meet again and again and again and again, because I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me. I'm not going anywhere. I do service not because I'm somebody special. I have a service position not because I'm somebody special. I'm just a garden variety drug that doesn't want to get loaded. I found a place in Narcotics Anonymous, and I've gotten the gifts of service, and I love this line here that every member inspired by the gift of recovery experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. I didn't know that's what I was signing up for. I was a look-good operation when I showed up, but somehow, some way, this started to happen for me, and I started to grow spiritually. And I have a life that's beyond my wildest dreams today. And I didn't know that. I just showed up, and I did what I was told, right? And I continue to do what I was told. And like I told, don't say no to request to service in Narcotics Anonymous, even when you don't want to, right? I feel very blessed. You know, I got pretty nervous when people were like, you know, oh, you're talking. And here's the thing I got to say. I didn't like my name on the poster, okay? I didn't like my name on the poster because there's no anonymity in that. There's no anonymity. Like, I hope people show up because it's the right thing to do and you're excited about showing up and passion, or because your buddy's coming, or because there's a cute boy who's going to be there, you know? But not because there's a name on a poster. That shit got me aggravated. Okay. True story. They're like, oh, Val, saw your name on the poster. I'm like, oh, fuck. But anyway. So, because my head doesn't need that, right? I like to just some anonymity, you know, just be here, you know, because that's it. Like, I am, you know, exactly like everybody else here. I happen to put some energy into service because that's what I've been taught. Doesn't make me anyone special. I have some education, some background around the service structure. Anyone can do that, right? It's just about commitment, one of the spiritual principles, some humility, some perseverance, commitment to a program of recovery that's life-changing. You know, I got to show up and get the life-changing mention of Narcotics Anonymous, and anybody can have that. And everything I've shared tonight, someone else has said. I've heard someone else say it in another meeting. And I get to say it again because, you know, I like the way it sounded. It made sense to me. You know, being here makes sense to me. So it may not be original, but it's what I've been taught, and it gets passed down and passed down, and that's the history, right? All the conventions we've gone to, all the committees that we get to pass on, you know, other people have taught me. And I get to pass it on. It's a beautiful thing. And I have passion for that. And I hope that you do too. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks to our speaker, Val, anonymously. We're going to do the Serenity Prayer in a minute, but before we do that, I would just want everybody to know that after we do the Serenity Prayer, we need everybody to clear out so we can set the room up for the talent show and the dance. If you don't already have a ticket for the talent show and the dance, you can get one downstairs right after this meeting. And if you're going to smoke after this meeting, the smoking area is around the side, so you go out the front door and around the side. And can we form a circle and do the Serenity Prayer?